I'm John Batchelor, the Friends of History Debating Society, with Devin Nunes, who is the CEO of True Social. He's the former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and he is the genius of the Devin Nunes Wine Company. I want to mention it because there's a Patriot Club that is now on the site. You can log into the Patriot Club. You can not only buy wine, you can exchange your views about wine, Devin, only, or can they wander into politics? How does it work?
Well, look, my wine company, DevinNunesWines.com, I love it. I love doing it. I love sharing my creation with my friends. And if you want really good wine, it's not $2 chuck. It's not cheap. But it's also, I think, good value for the price that it's at when you compare it to other good wines. Now, of course, I'm biased because I tend to like my wine better than most wines in California. But it's also very unique, John, that I'm specializing in Portuguese varietals that are growing on the central coast of California. So it's one of the only places, I'm probably one of very few in the United States that's making this type of wine. Most people really like it. I also make my Cabernet, which is a Bordeaux blend that we call the Patriot. But look, you can join the club. You get 20% off. We'll ship you 6 bottles right now. And then in the fall, we'll ship you a case of the new wines as they're released right before Thanksgiving. So if you like wine or you want to give away as gifts, DevinNunesWines.com. I hope you'll enjoy it.
There might be something to celebrate in November, Devin. You never know. So we'll turn to the contest between the two parties. And the top line is the presidential race. But there's a Republican Party and a Democratic Party battling for Congress, battling for money, with opinions of the present disorder. And I report to you, Devin, because it's been some weeks since we talked, reporting on the news in Eurasia is challenging. Those two wars are extremely dangerous, emphasized dangerous, because small wars turn into escalatory bigger and bigger wars. And then soon enough, you have a terror attack in Moscow that may be ISIS, it may be the FSB, it may be Ukraine, it could be someone completely different looking to provoke, and there's no controlling it, and during a presidential contest. So your measure of the foreign affairs of the Biden administration these years and how they're managing Eurasia, the war in Gaza, which is unfinished, and Mr. Biden has surprisingly to me become a harsh judge of the way Israel's defending itself. And at the same time, surprisingly to me, Mr. Biden and his administration have been reluctant to pass on weapon systems to Ukraine to defend itself until long after they would have been needed. How do you measure how this administration is managing Eurasia?
I would say two words, John. It's an unmitigated disaster. I don't think you can say anything other than that. The situation in Ukraine has spiraled out of control. All my time in government and dealing with these foreign affairs issues, intelligence matters. It was always the Democrats who said, hey, we have to have dialogue. We have to get to the table. We have to negotiate a peace agreement. And John, you saw nothing of the sort in Ukraine. You've seen kind of the opposite, where they say, we're only going to give them blankets. And then it goes to, well, we're going to give them a little more. Oh, well, we'll never give them tanks. We'll give them tanks. Well, we'll never give them these type of weapon system. But then they give the weapon system. So it's been haphazard and dangerous. And every day that this goes on, it's worse and worse for the people of Ukraine. And, look, I think a lot of people have said this. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to go all the way to the end. And if you can't get rid of Putin, how does Putin ultimately lose if Putin's got nuclear weapons and Ukraine does not? And the one thing I'll agree with everybody on is Putin is dangerous, and he's unpredictable, and he's getting older. You never know what's going on with his health. He's always done some crazy things. And John, you know, he's told the world that he will use them if he has to.
Repeatedly.
So, yeah, yeah. So look, I don't know. The goal should have been to quickly get to the table and get a peace deal worked out as quickly as possible, knowing that, you know, where they started out, where the U.S. and our allies started out was, oh, we're just going to barely support you, to now it's like a slow, like, tiptoeing into the water, and now they find themselves, you know, in the deep end, John, and, you know, running out of money. People are getting frustrated. The U.S. doesn't want to give money. The EU's running out of money. Economies are in trouble. Budget deficits are high. And a lot of people have been killed. And then I'd say that's kind of my initial take on Ukraine, and we can talk about it longer. But, you know, the Gaza situation is really interesting, where you have, you know, a mass murder of incalculable proportion that we haven't seen I think that has to be the most people murdered in the shortest amount of time by terrorism. I mean, it just has to be. I think it was, what, a six, 8 hour killing spree that killed, what, some 1,400 people. That's unacceptable. And the, you know, we've always been a very strong supporter. I mean, I say we, the United States, have been a very strong supporter of Israel. And it just seems like the Democratic Party has moved away from that position, and it's creating real division within their party. And as you know, is impacting the polls. Now, I tend to think the polls are more guided by not so much that there's, you know, division within the Democratic Party. I acknowledge there is one. But I think the overall atmospherics are a big problem for any incumbent government around the world, and that is that inflation continues to be a problem. These budget deficits are causing a problem, and that typically does not bode well for the incumbent president. And then you have on top of that that Obama and Clinton and everyone have tried to get Biden out of the race, but it just seems to be a fight between Team Obama and Jill Biden, who and the family, who don't want Joe Biden to get out. But I mean, look, it's not my words, but the words of Biden's own DOJ came out with a big report that said, well, yeah, he had all these classified documents, wasn't supposed to have them, but it wouldn't matter because he's not really capable of standing up to a criminal and jury trial. I mean, just, you can't make this stuff up, and we're just in a strange world today.
Yes, and the Trump candidacy, which is chiefly courtroom drama, that's what it's come to. You know, I've been reporting on that with our colleagues, Andrew McCarthy and Thaddeus McCotter. We need to have a scorecard to stay up to date about where the four, maybe five prosecutions are. It's a puzzle. We go from civil trial to criminal trial to state trial to city trial, and sometimes I think the audience is just going to be overwhelmed with detail, but we have to pursue it. It's the strangest thing. None of them come to anything. It just drag on, and then former President Trump is blamed for stalling. It's odd, Devin.
Yeah, look, we're in a very dark chapter of American history. These are political prosecutions that are occurring. I mean, there's as you know, John, I mean, look, we talked about the Russia hoax for so many years, and, you know, it engulfed so much of my time. But at the end of the day, it was really where you had a two-tiered justice system. And in some cases it was where the people who were actually committing the crimes skated, and the people who were the victim of the crimes were prosecuted. And that started, John, with the Russia hoax, which, as you know, I was on your show, you know, it's always important to go back to that. I said from day one, there's nothing there. I was the chairman of the damn intelligence committee. I was there meeting with the FBI and all the intelligence agencies. And I said, where's the intelligence, guys? And then, you know, lo and behold, it ends up they manufactured fake intelligence and lied to courts. And, you know, DOJ lied. They had a special prosecutor named Mueller. And John, it's like, what did they do? That failed miserably. And now they've went and double, triple, quadrupled down on crazy, where, you know, we were just talking about the documents issue, where you have Biden who, you know, John, I was the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. I can tell you, if I'm hiding documents right now in my home or my, I don't have a Corvette,
in your garage.
Corvette, my garage.
In your garage, Devin, you have to hide them in your garage.
Yeah. But John, I know I can't have those. And I know that I will go to jail and be prosecuted if I'm holding classified documents as a United States congressman. Joe Biden was holding those as a U.S. senator, same as me. So he had the same clearances as I did. And no, everybody knows you can't take those home. So how did that happen? And why is he not being, you know, prosecuted? And meanwhile, you have Trump who ends up with a few documents of which we know they must not have been anything because they would have leaked them, that ended up at Mar-a-Lago with Secret Service and security and everything. Trump let them go through them. Like, how is this an issue? Like, it's not an issue. He was the president of the United States. He had the ability to have those documents if he wanted them. If he wanted to declassify them, he could. So it's just like there's rules for rules that some of us have to follow, and the rules for the left, they just don't seem to apply. And I mean, look, we don't even have to get into the silliness of this overvaluing of real estate. What troubles me there, John, and you're an old New York City guy, and I know you've moved out now, but New York City is the financial capital of the world. And they are sending a very dangerous message. If you are a conservative, and especially if you're a conservative billionaire, get the hell out of New York as soon as possible. I mean, this is like stuff you used to see when Mao took over China and when the communists took over Russia, the property confiscation. And that's what they're supposedly getting ready to do. Over, you know, it's just not, it's none of this makes any sense. And I think that as much as there's a lot of people out there, as you know, that have Trump derangement syndrome, and, you know, never Trump and whatever else, and they don't want to, you know, they don't, but at some point you have to see the world as it is, not the way you want it to be. And the world as it is right now makes America a very dark place.
Devin Nunes is the CEO of Truth Social, where they practice the First Amendment routinely, daily, as explained. The former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee during the Russiagate years, and also a man with political thoughts. We'll turn to those next. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.